Welcome back, 1244, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And on this Tuesday afternoon, I want to check in with Stephen Dinan, political editor here at the Washington Times. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
I appreciate you doing this on such short notice. I know that we put out the emergency call to you when all of this Boehner stuff came down this morning over the debt ceiling. Try to, if you can, fill us in on exactly what happened here. Did he bow to the Democrats on this?
Yes, in the end he did bow to the Democrats, mainly because he couldn't find a way to get anything through his own conference that a viable alternative. So it's been sort of a crazy last couple weeks on this issue. We are once again about at the end of this month going to run up against our borrowing limit. Republicans have been searching for a way to deal with that, to raise the borrowing limit, but also to try and hold true to Boehner's principles that this is a negotiating moment, that in order to give Obama a debt limit increase, Republicans would have to get something out of that. They came up with a couple of different options, one of which would have been another, trying to tweak the health care law or something along those lines. They realized that even those, there are too many conservative Republicans who wouldn't vote for any increase in the debt limit, no matter what the trade-off was, no matter what they got in return. So they realized they couldn't get 218 votes on their own. They came up with a plan that would have both increased spending by undoing the military retirement benefit cuts from the budget deal and giving a clean debt ceiling increase. They realized that Democrats wouldn't vote for that because they wanted just the debt ceiling increase, and Republicans were saying, well, wait, so you're asking us to break last month's budget deal, which already breaks the sequesters, and also increase the debt limit? Why would we do that? So that plan just collapsed completely, leading you to today where John Boehner said, okay, fine, clean debt ceiling increase is going to be up to Democrats to pass it. We're going to go out and call it Obama's debt ceiling increase, even though Boehner said he will vote for it. And then this is all a way of basically trying to clear the decks and keep the focus on Obamacare.
You know, it is surprising to me that the Democrats wouldn't have been on board with helping out the military when it comes to pension and benefits. You know, that's surprising.
Yeah, you know, there are a couple of different ways to look at that. One possibility, and you've heard a little bit of talk about this, is that Democrats have said all along they want a clean debt ceiling increase, just a straight rise in the debt ceiling. And so, you know, maybe to their credit, they were at least holding to that principle. Even if they got another goodie they wanted, they're like, no, our job here is just to increase the debt ceiling. Let's just do this and get this done with. So all around, it's been really interesting to watch essentially watch John Boehner try and twist through all of this, try and manage his own conference and figure out what sort of support he can count on from Democrats. He will go there. The vote is now going to happen tonight, and he will go there and basically count on Democrats to deliver almost all 200 of their members, and he'll have to deliver maybe 20 or so Republicans, maybe 30, and hope that he can get this done. It's a lot of pressure on him. It's just a completely unmanageable house for him right now, and the only coalition that seems to be able to get across the 218 votes needed in the House is one that's based mostly on Democrats with a few Republicans, and that's not a good situation for Boehner to be in.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so what happens when it comes to procuring the votes of Republicans? Does he look for those who have, who really don't have a challenger in the race coming up in the midterm?
Yeah, yes, that's the easy place to go. It'll be fascinating to see how many of his fellow leaders go along with him. Eric Cantor, the majority leader, probably to show solidarity with Boehner and show that this is a plan that they have to do, should end up voting for this, except that he's got a primary challenger now in Virginia who's making a lot of noise about things like immigration and spending. So, what Cantor does on this will be fascinating. So, yes, the answer is Boehner's going to try and go to people who don't have primary challengers or people who are just sort of in moderate districts where they can do this, but it's not an easy thing, and I imagine he must know that he has these people he can count on, at least enough to get him there, but it's a tough ask for him, and it's John Boehner going to folks and asking, essentially out of personal loyalty, look, my neck is on the line. I have to have this vote. Will you do this for me?
Mm-hmm. many on the right unhappy with Boehner at this very moment, I can only imagine.
Yeah, screaming and yelling. And his troops, the House lawmakers, know that they all know he's in an impossible position, and they respect him for at least trying to do that sort of stuff. The big problem here is that Boehner and Republicans took control of the House back in 2011 with two vows. First of all, it's time to cut spending, and second of all, is they vowed no debt increases without an accompanying corresponding full dollar-to-dollar match in spending cuts. They won that fight once back in 2011, the big debt deal that produced the sequesters and spending caps and all this. We've now busted those sequesters, and since then, Republicans have not won that debt fight. This actually, though, will be worse than all of those. It'll be the first time that Republicans will have accepted a clean debt increase. In the past, they haven't won dollar-for-dollar matches, but they have won things like the No Budget, No Pay Act, when they forced the Senate Democrats to finally produce a budget for the first time in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
This time, they're not getting anything. It's just a straight, okay, here's a year-long increase in the debt, as much as you want. As much as the government runs up, go to it, President Obama. And that's pretty stark.
Yeah. One thing I did, I left out loud when I saw it. Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer, says Boehner should pull an about face on immigration reform now.
Yeah, you know, there are two ways to look at that. One, from Schumer's standpoint, is, okay, he's caving on all these other things and going to Democrats for votes. He can do that on immigration. The other way to look at that is Boehner's troops are sitting there staring at him and saying, okay, we understand why you have to do that on the debt ceiling where the full faith and credit of the United States government is at stake.
Right.
But don't you dare do that on immigration.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, one more thing before I let you run. I saw your story on local cops block feds from doing full security clearances. Navy Yard Review was the source of this. You know, I really kind of thought after 9/11 this kind of stuff would go away, you know, one hand not helping the other hand. This is strange.
Yeah, you know, this is, and we've seen this on other things. You know, this is, for that matter, this is sort of what goes on with immigration enforcement and these sanctuary city policies. There are a few big examples we have out there where local law enforcement and local governments themselves don't want to share information with the federal government when the federal government comes and asks for it. And in this case, it is police departments. When the federal government does background checks, security background checks, the big, you know, they have to go check whether people have criminal records. And when they ask police departments, a number of police departments say, nope, we're not going to give you any information. You have to go check court records. Turns out the court records are way less complete and include a lot less information than the police incident reports do. This was the case in the case of the Navy Yard shooter, where the Seattle police said, "Ah, go check the court records on this gun charge that happened, you know, I guess now 10 years ago." The court records only said the charge was dismissed, while the police report had all sorts of different things, including the fact that he shot out another guy's tires, that he admitted to being in a rage fueled blackout, all sorts of things that would have raised red flags if the investigators had seen it, but because the Seattle police said, no, go look at court records, and the court records just said charges never brought up or never pursued, they never saw any of those red flags. So, you know, it really does raise a lot of questions. And as you said, there's cooperation is a big issue here. What Congress is considering, and we'll see how far it goes, but Congress is considering going ahead and trying to dock some of those police departments from money from federal aid, you know, like cop funding or something, in order to force them to play ball.
Yeah. And can I assume that somewhere down the road we're going to have a policy in place that these people come up for a review once in a while?
That's certainly one of the things, actually, maybe something that everybody agrees on. You know, right now, if you have top secret clearance, you're reviewed, I believe, every 5 years. If you have secret clearance, you're reviewed every 10 years. Or, actually, it's not even a review. It's good for 10 years, and then at the end of that 10 years, you can apply for it to be reinstated. But there's no continuous checks during that 10 years. And in this case, the Navy Yard shooter, there were all sorts of red flags that popped up after he got clearance, including, you know, several visits to the VA hospitals a month before he did the shooting, reports that he was hearing voices, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff that might have raised some red flags. But because there was no ongoing review, and basically we left it up to him to self-report, that obviously never happened.
Yeah. All right, Stephen, as always, thanks for your help. Appreciate it very much.
My pleasure, Andy.
Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor, 1253 at 1260 WRC.